Concerning love, love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. When you consider the sentence that Paul has given us, it is perfectly balanced with two clauses that feature the same verb. But they have opposite direct objects. Wrongdoing and truth. As love characterizes God, so iniquity or evil describes the devil. Love rejoices not in the devil, but love rejoiceth in God. I want to use for subject when love celebrates. When love celebrates. Somehow, when rejoicing is being done, there is something worth celebrating. When you look at the word rejoice, it is something to be glad about. When your favorite team wins, there is celebration that takes place when your team wins. This is something that has made you glad. When you think in terms of iniquity, it does not make us glad. It does not cause rejoicing, or does it cause celebration. But when love sees truth, and truth being exemplified, this is what causes love to rejoice and to celebrate. When he says that love, or it rejoiceth not in iniquity, it's simply saying that it takes no delight in iniquity. It finds no pleasure in someone guilty of a crime. It simply means that there is nothing to celebrate when one falls into sin, nor does one find pleasure in hearing about it. Not only that, but when the report goes out, love does not even try to establish whether it's right or whether it's wrong. That's what wicked men do. That's what people of the world do. They like to hear the downfall of others. If you know that iniquity is sin, sin is what sails. Sin is what gets attention. Sin is actually worshiped. Sin doesn't like clean jokes, clean music, because all of the ones who tell jokes know that I can get your attention if I include something that has a sexual overtone. Some aspect of immorality. Dirty jokes are more popular than clean jokes. When you think in terms of our music, the more popular shows are those that exemplify and celebrate immorality, sin. When you think in terms of the world in which we live, it seems as though our newspapers sell best when there is iniquity. The media goes on a frenzy whenever there's something negative that has happened, something that is sinful, or something that is actually bad news. They seem to make that the headlines. And they just keep telling you about it over and over and over. They even break in on your favorite show to tell you about something that is bad news. They know their ratings are going to go up. Not on something good, but the ratings are going to go up if there's something bad that has happened. I'm telling you that truth that has been regenerated, or people who have been regenerated by God, and people who know God, know that you don't take pleasure in sinful activity. You don't ever get to the point where you feel comfortable and you feel that sin ought to be covered up. You got to understand that sin is diabolical, and anybody who is involved in it is like a cancer that will eat at your very soul. Now, truth, on the other hand, is different. And this is because when you look at truth, truth is about making an attempt to discover that which is praiseworthy in thoughts, in deeds. They're looking for the good. They're not looking for the bad. That's love. Love is always looking for that which is good in an individual. Love searches out the truth. Love rejoices, celebrates when truth triumphs over wrong, when truth is told, when truth is actually on the throne. That's when it begins to celebrate. Love and truth are inseparable. Wherever there's love, you're going to find truth. Where there's truth, you're going to find love, because love is of God. Love is God. Truth is of God. God is truth. And all of us who have been regenerated, and all of us who live in this world, we're going to have to change our appetites. We're going to have to change our appetite for that which is good, praiseworthy, and not after that which is actually promoting iniquity and sin. You and I must understand that this is what Paul meant when he told the disciples, and I'm just going to briefly tell you, this lesson is going to highlight, number one, the disciples' attitude toward iniquity, the disciples' attitude toward truth, and then I want to end by showing you that Jesus is the truth, and how that truth is what prevails and should prevail in a society, or especially in the Lord's house. What is the attitude of our discipleship toward iniquity? Go with me to 1 Corinthians 5 and verse number 1. And I want you to put that on the screen for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. Now I want you to follow this, because this is the attitude that we should have concerning sin. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Now, this is Paul talking to the same one. In chapter 13, he's talking about how love rejoices not in iniquity. Now, if you want to know what that means and what Paul really wants us to understand about that, go back and look at what he teaches about it. Now, watch what he says. It is reported in verse number 5, commonly, that there is fornication among you. And watch him. Such fornication as is not so much as named among Gentiles. He said, what I see in the church, folk in the world already know that's not right. So why do I have to write to you and tell you it's wrong? The whole world knows it's wrong. That one should have his father's wife. Now that's iniquity. That's sin. And guess where it is? It's right in the church. I mean, they walk and strut up the aisle together. Y'all getting quiet now. But that's all right, that's all right, that's all right. I'm prepared to go on by myself. Now watch, he said, and the problem is that instead of you mourning, you're puffed up about it. In other words, you celebrating. You have no conscience about it. That he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. Now this is God's attitude toward iniquity, is that iniquity be taken away from us. That sin not reign in our mortal bodies. I know you say, well, Brother Gibbs, it's fun. I like it. Well, that's what the world does, but I'm telling you, those of us who are disciples of Christ, we understand that sin is a cancer. You don't want it to live in your body. It's a bad germ. It's a virus. Watch the next verse. Hurry right quick. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. Watch him. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, watch him, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Watch him. For the destruction of the flesh. That the spirit, watch him, flesh, all of us are of the flesh. All of us fleshly enjoy iniquity. It wouldn't be a problem if we didn't enjoy it. But I'm telling you, when iniquity is in your flesh, the spirit is affected. And he says, I want you to do something that will allow that spirit of the man, the spirit of Christ, to control him and allow him to be saved in the day of judgment. In other words, you and I are going to have to understand that our attitude towards sin is far different from that of the world. And you and I are going to have to understand, we don't celebrate that. We don't even get excited about it. And we don't even want to hear about it. Well, somebody said, well, Brother, it sounds contradictory. Well, you know, this, in other words, when you hear something on somebody, you don't have to go trying to research it and find out about it. That's not love. But when it's commonly, when it is well reported, when everybody already knows, you don't have to search it out. It's there in your face. You see, you can't allow it. Now, this is a great church. But we cannot allow sin to overtake us. We can't close our eyes and act like it's not here. But again, what are you talking about? I said, we can't close our eyes and act like it's not here. You don't allow sin to become comfortable sitting among you. Y'all getting mighty quiet on Brother Gibbs. But I'm telling the truth. When sin comes along and it occupies the house of the saints, it ought to be so uncomfortable, that it can't sit here. Well, the love is that the spirit may be saved. See, when love sees sin, and I preached on this last time, it's our attitude toward it and how we look at one who is caught up in it. Let me tell you about truth. Truth, when truth sees sin, when truth sees the sinner, that's a better way of saying it. When truth sees the sinner, truth immediately begins to look for. Love begins to look for something praiseworthy, something good in the sinner. Because we are rejoicing in truth, I want you to look at some passages with me. Go with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 21. I got just a little more time, I think. Romans chapter 1, and I want to begin in verse number 21. Well, let's go back to verse number 17. I just want to show you something here. Go back to verse number 17. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 17. Verse number 17. Romans 6, 17. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Watch this. But God be thanked that you were the what? But ye have obeyed from the what? That what? That form of doctrine which was delivered you. But what happened when you were delivered and you became a participant in that form of doctrine, which is baptism, actually, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of what? Righteousness. Now watch verse number 21. Now drop down to verse number 21. And watch the Bible. What fruit had ye when then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? I'm talking about the attitude towards sin. Now there was a time that you participated and you brought forth fruit. But now he said, whereof ye are now ashamed of those things. For the end of those things is death. But watch the next verse. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God. You and I are servants of God. You have your fruit unto holiness. Your fruit unto righteousness. Our fruit is no longer to sin. Love does not rejoice in sin. Love gets excited about righteousness. Love gets excited about truth. Love gets excited about that which is right. Because it knows that the end is what? Everlasting life. That's why sin is against us. But what I like about truth is this. Truth is about that which is good. Truth is about that which is praiseworthy. Truth is about that which builds us up. Truth is about that which brings us into the likeness of God Almighty. See, whenever you are of truth, then that means that you have gotten to the point that I don't like being in the company of sin. And when you get to the point that you recognize that in your life that I'm laughing at a joke that ought not be laughed at, you hit yourself, you slap yourself, and you say, shame on me. I mean, you become servants of righteousness, which simply means this. It means that when you're watching a television show and you see all of that sin, you get to the point that you say, you know I still want to find out if she did, if she didn't. But you say, no, as a Christian, I can't deal with that no more. Oh, y'all, the amens have gotten quieter and quieter on me. talking about our appetite. I'm talking about what makes us celebrate. Truth makes us celebrate. Whenever you hear something on the news, and we hear it all the time, he did this, he did that. When that man shot up, we all know about it, so I can talk about it. When that man shot up the police department, how long did they talk about it? I mean, it dominated the news. But they kept looking for iniquity. They were not looking for truth. At the pool party. Now y'all not gonna pray with me, but that's okay. Do you look at that and just look for who's wrong, what's wrong, or do you look at it to ascertain the truth? Do we just take for granted? Y'all might have cried on Brother Gibbs, but I'll preach it from the housetop. When you're a child of God, you got to look for the truth, and the truth will make you free. Here's what truth does. Truth finds sin. Truth finds error. Truth identifies error everywhere. When truth finds error, when truth finds sin, here's what truth does. Truth identifies. When you caught, truth admits you're wrong. Truth has never covered up. Act like it didn't happen. Truth tells the truth about what it is. Truth recognizes error, and truth does what it can to correct. Now, you missed that. Brother Ford, it's easy for me to find out that you've done wrong. Now, I can do that all day long. But here's what truth does. Truth gets to the point that it looks at you and says, there's something praiseworthy. There's something good about him. And let me get down to the nitty gritty. Amen. And find out how I can get him up out of it. Now, I watched the Lone Ranger. I love the Lone Ranger. I had to wait till Saturday to get him. But I watch episode after episode after episode. And the Lone Ranger, listen, the Lone Ranger is about good. Wherever he finds wrong, he does whatever he can to correct it. Yesterday, Tonto got caught in some quicksand. They fooled him, and, you know, I don't have any friends at Lone Ranger. I'm the only one. Did you see it? Yeah, see it yesterday. Man, they fooled the Lone Ranger and Tonto, and Tonto got caught in some quicksand. And Tonto was going down. And the Lone Ranger had to make a decision. He had to make a decision. Do I let these criminals go, or do I save Tonto? And one of the criminals said, you let us go, we'll help you get Tonto out. Well, you know, you can't trust no criminal. Amen. But the Lone Ranger wanted to save Tonto. But thank God, listen to me. Thank God one of the criminals was decent enough to say, we made a promise. And he turned on his partner and said, you are not going to back out on your word. We're going to help get Tonto out. Now watch how they did it. The Lone Ranger took a stick and said, Tonto, grab hold. Then the other men grabbed the Lone Ranger. And then the other one grabbed his partner. And then the Lone Ranger said, pull. And they pull. And Tonto came up out of the quicksand and walked on good, dry, solid ground. And the Lone Ranger said, are you all right, Tonto? He said, I'm fine. Keep us happy. I'm now, I know you didn't want to hear that story. But here's my point. Here's what truth does. Truth finds you sinking and deep in quicksand. And what truth said, how can I get him out? But some of us, when we're not of God, you find a brother in quicksand, he deserved it. He getting what he deserves. Y'all with me?
Amen.
I'm trying to show you why truth is so much more important than iniquity. Iniquity will get you in the quicksand, but truth will get you out. See, truth. I'm going to give you one illustration, biblical illustration, and I'm through. Jesus met a woman. I know I use it all the time, but I'm going to use it again. Jesus met a woman of Samaria. Jews and Gentiles have no dealings with one another. But Jesus is truth. Are you with me? He came to Samaria as truth. When he met that woman, watch how truth interacts with this woman. The woman says to him, you being a Jew, gonna ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink of water? And truth immediately says, if you knew why I'm coming and what I got, you ask me for the water I got. That's truth. Because see, truth is about saving and not about condemning. Now let me show you what they got into that big discussion about water. He said, I give you living water. It'll be a well inside of you, spring up unto everlasting life. She said, I want this water. In other words, she forgot about her water and said, I want your water. Give me your water that I'll never have to come back to this well and get water out of this well. And Jesus said, well, before we talk about water, now let's talk about truth. He said, you got five husbands. Now, see, that's what truth will do. Truth gonna tell the truth. Now, sister, I can give you this water, but you're gonna have to deal with who you are. You've had five, not two. You've had five. See, truth knew. Now, some of us know, and our purpose is to use it against her. But Jesus used it to help her. No, act like I don't know. I already know you had five of them. And I also know that the one you have now, you ain't marry him. You're just living with him. The woman had to face herself. Now, do you still want that water? See, some folks, once they face truth, now I don't want to deal with it. No, I deal with me, but deal with me covering up what I do. Deal with me and act like I'm all right. You don't need to bring up my past and bring up, he brought it up. I didn't mean to. He brought it up. Well, if you loved me, you wouldn't bring it up. No, he brought it up. But the reason he brought it up, I want to know why you're bringing it up. See, y'all don't want to pray with me.
Come on now.
Because you know I'm telling the truth.
Yes, sir. Right.
We bring it up because we want to hurt. We want to cripple. We want to cut down. But truth don't act like that. Truth don't celebrate on a man's downfall. Truth celebrates on a man's uprising. A man's forgiveness. A man being set right. Now watch the scripture. If a man be overtaken in a fault. Overtaken. I'm in Galatians 6:1. Overtaken. Which means he can't help himself. He's in quicksand. He said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Watch him. Bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. Love is about bearing the burden, bearing the sin of another. Somebody ought to pray with me. Ask me about Jesus. He bore our iniquities. He put our chastisement on his own back. Now when you get to the point that we love like that, that I can identify with your sin. Talk about, well, I want to be like Jesus. Yeah, do you? I got ugly now, haven't I? A disciple looks at the circumstance, a disciple of Christ, and he figures out a way to bring the good out of it. And when sin is triumphed over by truth. Listen, when sin goes up to throw that ball down in that goal, and truth comes behind him and blocks that shot, not only block it, but hit it so hard it knocks it out of the court. And folk on truth side, yay! Iniquity didn't make a dunk. Iniquity didn't get. The question is, whose team are you on? I mean, that's the question. Isn't that right? Now, if you're for the Cavaliers, the other time they played, you celebrated. But if you're for the Cavaliers and they lost the last time, you mourn. God has a team. His team is called truth. The devil has a team and his is called iniquity. Now I want to know which team you're on. Now go on and play that game if you want to. Play iniquity's game. Play sin's game. And I tell you, you'll tear up everything. Because the only thing that's going to help it, the only thing that's going to make our world better, is love and truth. I know it sounds redundant. We're just going over and over the same thing. But I'm just saying how many times Paul said it. And he ain't through yet. Come back tonight and you'll hear verse 7. Brother Bradshaw going to deal with verse 7 tonight. Y'all to come back and hear it. Y'all not let iniquity win. Y'all to fight through it.
And when iniquity says, well, you already been this morning, you don't need to go back tonight, you ought to let truth block it. I done gone in the middle in there, so I'll stop. All right. You've heard the gospel. I want you to believe it with all of your heart. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except to come by me. Notice he said, I'm truth, I am life. Isn't that what he said? And I am the way. Follow his way, follow truth, and he'll give you life. That's what he's all about. And when that wins, you win, and the world wins. I pray that you'll want to be a disciple of Christ. You can't be a disciple of anybody else and have this kind of blessing but of Christ, because that's who he is. That's the very essence of him. Will you come and give your life to him? You give your life to him by hearing the wonderful news, how he bore your sin and gave his life for you, made himself a ransom for your sin. He did no sin, but he did that for you. And then not only that, believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sin and confess him to be the Son of God. Go down with him in the water of grave of baptism. It's for the remission of sin. Isn't that right? It's for the remission of sin. That's what he came for, to take away our sin. Well, God, thank you so much. If there's someone who needs to give their life to Christ, I pray that you'll come right now. While together we stand and sing, will you come?
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. We'll live by and by. Lord, when the morning comes, to know all the saints of God are gathering home, and we will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by.